Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, you're about a half hour late. We start the program at 11:06. That was a wonderful long segment. Chris Thornburg, UCLAforecast.com, UCLAforecast.com. So Joe Guzzardi received a lot of flack. He's running for county supervisor. He said developers are like wolves, marking their territory with structures. Actually, he should have ended it there. It was a pretty interesting analogy. And then, amazingly, picking up on this analogy was Randy Alcorn in Sunday, March 5th, 2006, op-ed piece in the Santa Barbara News Press. He said, land to developers is like sheep to wolves. So I thought that was a very nice, subtle way to continue with the wolf analogy. So what I want to know is, and then across from him, the editorial, I'm still not sure who wrote the editorial. Would that be Travis Armstrong? He's the editorial editor. And he had some interesting things to talk about as well on building or traffic so much. And, you know, who's the publisher of the Montecito Journal? Jim? I'm so embarrassed. Jim Buckley. He made this point when we were on kind of debating adding the third lane. And Travis Armstrong made the point about build a third lane and more people will come. And I don't understand that argument. Maybe if I understood it more, I would maybe support being against adding the third lane. I think that if I add the third lane, it'll just get people out of here who want to leave, want to come back, return, who live here, and then people who aren't coming here will just sail on by. But there's a lot of people, Travis Armstrong and Jim Buckley are two of them, who are intelligent people. They seem to think that building a third lane, more people will come. One of the things that Jim Buckley said that did make sense to me was that a lot of the commerce traffic and trucks that avoid us and maybe take five to go a loop around us might start using it more, you know, and that might be true. But I still don't quite understand the argument against it. Now, I do understand and appreciate, rather, the comments made as well by Travis Armstrong about lamenting poor planning for parking. And he gave the example of Trader Joe's on De La Vina. That is just horrendous. And you just want to see the difference between what happens with just adding more people. All you got to do is go out to Trader Joe's and Kyrielle, which is getting worse, but still very doable, versus the two Trader Joe's downtown. In fact, don't go out to the one on Kyrielle because we don't want you there. But it's, and so then, so I understand that part. And also, he was not supporting the fact that the proposed number of parking spaces for a lot of the upper State Street developments were being downplayed and being minimized and being reduced, I should say. And yet, though, on those same pages of the editorials, I hear that they just really resent the downtown parking garage at the Granada, which I don't understand the argument. Maybe if I had a better understanding of it, and if anyone can explain it to me better, maybe I would have a different point of view. 564-1290. But I'm not opposed to the parking garage. I thought that was a good idea. You put all the cars in one place, and people can walk downtown, come to downtown, do business downtown. But the parking, here's a great, the best marketing decision made by a developer was calling the development on Upper State Street the State Street Lofts. We're not building apartments, condos, housing, structures. We're not building retail space, commercial buildings, offices. We're going to build lofts. Lofts. It's heavenly. It's so unobtrusive. How could anyone object to building a loft? It's just, you know, pure genius. Pure genius. So that's the story from Sunday's News Press. A lot of interesting points. To finish up on Randy Alcorn, here in Santa Barbara, we will always need more housing if we continue to provide it. Demand is endless. Very true. Should have read that to Chris Thornburg. Another reason why Santa Barbara is different. Over the years, all the economists said you can't build your way out of this problem. You throw up 55 units. You throw in a token number of affordable housing that a few lucky people happen to get. I mean, you might as well just buy lottery tickets, and you might win that too. So you might get lucky. It's not going to house all the teachers and the nurses and the cops. And I got news for you. I've spoken to a lot of them. People have called in. A lot of these professional people that we do want to support in our community, they're living, and this supports what Chris Thornburg said, the prior guest from UCLA Forecast. They moved. They bought themselves a nice three-bedroom, two-bath house for a decent price. They're in the market. It's appreciating. Instead of being shoehorned in to some, you know, one-bedroom place just so they could live, you know, on Upper State Street. It'll be some retired person or someone else that's buying that. The cops and those people, you know, they want to have a family. They want to have a backyard. So they faced the music, many of them, a long time ago. So it's to me, it's a specious argument, and it plays on people's fears, or it's just not right. And it makes, and then if you're opposed to it, you're an ogre and a horrible person. How could you not support nurses and cops and the firemen? Of course we'd support them. And then he had a really nice economic, he always takes a very pragmatic economic approach, Randy does. Kind of scares me on that picture, though. Can't he get a better picture? It's just a very intimidating picture. About the laws of economics, and basically it'll just all flow to the top. And if Santa Barbara doesn't build the housing and all this stuff, and if the people don't come to buy housing, then prices will go down. People won't be able to sell the house to anybody. So it seems to make a lot of sense to me, but it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to a lot of other people. And the big debate is on. The big race is on now. The supervisorial seat is open, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. We're in a war. We're in a battle. And I'll leave you with this quick story. The battle, of course, being, you know, developers versus non-developers, or people, housing advocates, as long as it's not on their block. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out in that vote. But this is a short ditty entitled World War III, digressing a little bit. At the Russian War College, the guest lecturer, a general, is telling the class of officers that the session will focus on potential problems and the resulting strategies. One of the officers in the class asks, "Will we have to fight in a World War III?" "Yes, comrades, it looks like you will," answers the general. "And who will be our enemy, comrade general?" And another officer asks, "The likelihood is that it will be China." The class looks alarmed, and finally one officer asks, "But comrade general, we are 150 million people, and they are 1.5 billion. How can we possibly win?" "Well," replies the general, "think about it. In modern war, it is not the quantity but the quality that is the key. For example, in the Middle East, 4 million Jews fight against 150 million Arabs, and the Jews have been the winners every time." "But sir," asks the panicky officers, "do we have enough Jews?" Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned, you'll be right back.